Delaware Security Show. Don't let phishing get you down. Slow down in front and turn it around. Security is in your DNA. Don't throw it away, the well-aware security show.
Don't be scared, be well aware. You're listening to the Well Aware Security Show. I'm your host, George Finney. Habits are the key to unlocking our potential when it comes to cybersecurity. So we're here to help you be more well aware. My guest today is Val. Val is the chairman and founder of the Cyber Future Foundation. Val is a globally recognized expert in cyber and cloud security with a focus on innovation and collaboration to address the information security needs of the future. And he also currently serves as an executive director in the cyber advisory services arm of Ernst & Young. So awesome day job. Val, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Josh, for having me. And thanks for continuing the conversation that we have had for several years now. And congratulations on your book and this podcast. It seems to be doing really well as it deserves. So great to be here.
For the folks that have read the book, you might recognize Val's name. Val actually helped me out. He wrote the intro or the foreword to the book. And oh my gosh, just an awesome way to kick off the book. And again, thank you so much for all your support over the years. I'm excited to keep the conversation going. And I just wanted to find a way to connect to leaders like you, Val. Because we have these cool conversations, in between conferences or, just over lunch. And man, I just wanted to find a way to like capture that, bottle it, and then, get it out to other folks that hopefully can learn and grow from these kinds of conversations.
Absolutely. No, really valuable.
For the folks who don't know, what is the Cyber Future Foundation and what is it exactly that you guys do?
Well, Cyber Future Foundation is a leadership platform that we built to connect cyber leaders and thought leaders, business executives, industry professionals, as well as national security or agency leaders to the actual business and stakeholders that are outside cybersecurity, that are not in the day job of manning cyber programs. And you probably, among others, understand it more, the value most, right? Because mm-hmm. I think it's cyber has been mostly a cyber to cyber conversation, which has only got us so far. But I think it's essential now that we see all these headlines and the back-to-back cyber crime and cyber attacks. I think it is essential to have this discussion to expand the reach for cybersecurity knowledge from the cyber experts to those that need to be well aware, right? What a great collaboration that this platform provides in terms of getting people, mostly leaders at the executive level, decision makers, influencers, to connect to those that need to be have the knowledge, and with CFF, that's been our mission. We don't take up a huge number of issues. What we focus is on the issues that are top of mind of leaders. And between us, I think we have discussed this many times. Cyber talent has been one of the biggest ones. So we were formed out of a dinner table discussion, as all great organizations start. That was back in 2014. I can still remember the day and the evening specifically when we sat down with a friend, Robert Rodriguez, who invited me to a dinner with Admiral Mike Rogers, the then chief of NSA and Cybersecurity Command. And we talked about many things. One of them was How can we have the same semblance of law and order, of peace and you know, some level of or a level of justice in the cyberspace as much as we have in the physical world? And we talked about cyber peace, and that seemed to be a pretty mellow concept, which took shape in many different ways now to become a mainstream concept because of all the cyber attack, and there's the whole looming cyber war, issues that we've been talking about. But we started this dinner conversation, and it evolved to a full-fledged organization such as you know today, over 5,000 cybersecurity and business and national security executives and leaders around the world in 40 different countries. We really envisioned this to be a collaborative platform, a super connector that, but it has shaped up to be much more than what we initially started off with. So that's CFF for you.
That's amazing. You know, I think you're right. There is this danger. I mean, with any, you know, community is that we could be in an echo chamber, right? You know, we all hear and say the same things, and we're not getting outside perspectives, which that's to me really what stood out with the Cyber Future Foundation, right? When I go to your conferences, right? Most of the time when I go to a conference and I see like a general, like, you know, he's giving the keynote, you know, at the Cyber Future Foundation, you know, the generals are in the audience, along with CEOs, attorneys, CFOs, CISOs. So I think that's amazing. I'm curious, how did you go about building that coalition of such a diverse group of perspectives?
Absolutely, your observation is accurate, right? I mean, you know, we were very deliberate in how we built this network. We went top down in terms of getting and addressing the leaders, the C-suite, the boards, national security leaders, as well as national leaders of many countries. We went them direct and then made them aware of what we are doing. And I think it was not, it might feel that it takes a lot to bring those together, but I'll tell you, everybody has the same level of concerns, be the president of a republic or the parent of your household, right? Of a household, like, no, I think we have what we've done is try to tap into the concerns and the aspirations of the person that we are addressing. And that's been our approach from the get-go, is because this is very real and very close to everyone as an individual, as a corporate, if you're a corporate citizen. I mean, it doesn't really matter. All these three dimensions really play out. So so as, you know, right now with all these headlines that are out there, you'd see people responding to them in many different ways. But one thing is very consistent, and everybody's personally very concerned about cybersecurity issues. And we have spoken about this before, George, that we really want to build a safe world, not only in the physical side, but also in cyberspace, because that's where our kids are spending time. And in fact, I would be, I'd be remiss if I don't mention an event that I came to this morning. And this is from one of our leaders who called me up in the morning saying, it's an important thing, well, I need to talk to you now, because what happened to one of our children got totally spam fished out of a very intricate way, and it's going to impact this child's future. Mm-hmm. Not that I want to go too deep into a personal story, but I think it's important for us to know that this is happening not only to us, not only to organizations, not only to nations, but it's happening to our children, to our future. And if we don't give them the sense of, or the assurance, or we don't work towards it, I think we'll fail our next generation. This is as big an issue as climate change is. And we got to all address this together. And that's the mission that Cyber Future Foundation stands for, building a better and trusted cyberspace. And that has to start with human interactions, right? And that's why it doesn't need to be, or it should not be confined within the expertise network of cybersecurity. That's where a George Finney's Well Aware comes into play. That's where a Val's Cyber Future Foundation comes into play. I think we are all responsible for building that future together.
I love that. I mean, I totally agree. We're building the future together. And when I hear stories about, kids, whether it's, cyber bullying, cyber stalking, identity theft doesn't discriminate, the old or the young. You're right. I think we absolutely have to have everyone participate, right? There might be, several million cybersecurity professionals out there in the world, but everybody needs to play a role, right? We say security is everybody's job. And we need to help people, equip them to do those jobs with, with the training and the tools. And so one of the biggest things that CFF does is help build the next generation of cyber professionals. You've got your society mentors, you've got other programs. Can you talk more about what all you guys do?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is I think one of the most important areas that are of personal passion, I would say. And we have common kind of mission on a common mission here, right? we have been working on kind of defining or shaping up a curriculum that aligns to the industry needs. And I think that's been a gap from the get-go that, we get students out of school or somebody who wants to do a career change, wants to come into cybersecurity. There's a lot of investment that the businesses and organizations have to do to get them prepared. Why can't they start early, right? So the left shifting the whole engagement with on cyber with younger generation, with those that are coming in. And as you mentioned, like there's probably 300 or 400,000 jobs that open right now as we speak in the US. And globally, there is a demand of at least a multi-million demand of headcount in that particular area. How can we get to it if we don't work now? So we had worked on putting together a structured program. Back in 2017, when we started this program, we shaped it as a global commission for cybersecurity education that included a multidisciplinary team from industry, from academia, from the national agencies, and a number of international agencies coming together to identify what's missing in this educational system that we need to get to, right? So 2017 and 2018, we worked on that. 2018, we took this to ITUT at the WISIS Forum in Geneva and opened it up to the world that, we really have a gap, but that's not because there are not training available or not because students don't want to learn, but I think we are not able to structure this appropriately, right? So in 2018 to 2019 timeframe, we gave them a full structure of industry-informed cybersecurity education and evolved the cyber workforce development program. In 2020, we took this to Davos, as you know. We are up there in Davos Mountains every year, January, not this year, but up at least last year to have this executive connect up. And we do this on the side where when World Economic Forum has its annual meeting to gather together the most significant voices or influencers in cybersecurity, along with the C-suite, along with the board, with many national leaders. And we open up the floor. And this came out to be the biggest concern, as we had rightly kind of, anticipated. And everybody went after this. And I think there's huge support, not only in the US, but around the world, because cyber is a global issue. It goes beyond physical boundaries. And, a kid from some part of Eastern Europe or somewhere, could turn their cyber knowledge into a weapon, or they could use it for the good, right? And they could inflict direct pain in the US without coming here. And I'm not just telling this about the formative kids and teenagers, but also adults who have moved from their spheres of, in many different ways, the cross boundaries between the law and order to go to organized crime, make some money there. And it's become a real organized, industry cybercrime has. So how can we address this without really having organization on our side, right? It's a very asymmetric situation. So we took this proposal to Department of Labor last year and suggested that they support us to build together a cyber apprenticeship program. And in October last year, in September, actually end of September, we partnered with Suffolk which is the workforce side of our partnership. And they had a significant experience in building workforce development programs. So together, Suffol and CFF, kind of took this proposal and we got this contract to build America's cyber apprenticeship program. So we are well underway on that. And in 6 or 7 small short months, we've been able to put together a really awesome team. And the first milestone was to get students and candidates an ability to get that training without spending thousands of dollars. I think cost has been a barrier to entry for a lot of people who really want to get into cybersecurity but are not able to. Because one thing, affording cyber, if you thought affording cybersecurity technology or program is costly, I mean, think about the kids or young people, professionals or those that want to get into this industry have to go through to learn cyber, right? So we want to break that barrier. So we partnered with Cybery. We just announced it yesterday that we will make available cybersecurity training content for free, those who are joined the cyber apprenticeship program. And then on top of that, we, as you mentioned, the Society of Mentors, we put together the Society of Mentors program that will augment this learning content with master mentors such as you. You were, and I can't forget, Josh, you started this up, right?
Yeah,
I was the master mentor of the Society of Mentors, and take your voluntary goodwill and support for these young professionals who want to come and join us in this journey of securing the nation, securing the country and the future. So that's where we are investing most of our time and energy in creating the next cyber talent pool for us.
You know, that's so meaningful, with both the apprenticeship and the training is, I know particularly here, even for our students last summer, during the pandemic, almost every internship program closed. They just canceled their programs because
ours have been open. We just got 11 interns. Send us more.
So if you're listening to this, talk to Val. So how has the CFF adapted with the shift toward virtual, both for virtual apprenticeships or virtual learning, to get that message out? Without being in person in the midst of the pandemic?
This has been a very personal journey to me, as has been to you, Josh, right? We have spoken and been in touch together for the last 18 months or so, even more. I realized this is firsthand when I went to Davos last year. It was empty, and maybe somebody knew that we didn't know, right? Then, this has been my past 20 years in life and career. But I was in Davos, came back to Dallas, went to Tel Aviv for a cyber conference, came back to Dallas and went to Riyadh, came back. I saw one common theme across the three is that everybody's getting more concerned about the COVID situation. So immediately coming back, the last trip I did was to RSA in San Francisco. And that was the second day when people, there was 2 cases of COVID right there. So we said, we can't wait. Once this hits, we're going to get disconnected from people. So we got to do something together. As soon as we came back from RSA last year, we put together a joint task force to put together a remote work operations plan. That was even before the lockdown started. And our plan was, we will kind of respond to this, we'll recover and we'll revive. So you can just think about the initial response, right? You have to think about what your end goal is. So we created a full virtual platform for us to connect. And as I cannot get over this, you are our first CFF Live guest and the first master mentor who supported this program. And this whole experiment turned into a full-fledged operational process. So we have been the most productive over the last 18 months that we haven't been over the last 4 or 5 years. And we have tapped into every opportunity possible to connect remotely, of course, securely, because that was when we started joint task force, we had 3 items. One is, how can we keep the community engaged? How can we continue to give the same experience that we have, that CFF is known for, but in a remote way, but more importantly, in a safe and secure way. So we had redundant communication platforms. We literally, there are country heads and there are national security leaders that would not get on, for example, I can speak now on Zoom because of whatever was going on at Zoom at the time, right? So we had to have backup plans. And at the time, Teams was not efficient as it is right now. Probably it's much better, right? But still, I think we laid this out knowing that this might be or anticipating that this might last longer. And again, I think it was very, it was really good for us because, you know, a lot of the money that we spent on conferences, on getting together, on plane tickets, on meeting events were put on the platform. And the security of the platform was paramount. We immediately went into a multi-factor authentication. I know we moved a lot of our infrastructure into a platform that we felt, was more secure. I don't think a lot of the NGOs, nonprofit organizations and all really take security or can afford security in many ways, right? So in summer of last year, we also launched another program, which I hope you remember, that we did an analysis of the cybersecurity access to cybersecurity cost. When we talk about talent, that's another issue, but there's actually a barrier to entry for cybersecurity for a lot of small businesses, nonprofits that cannot afford it. Even institutions like yours, like, you know, universities, how much money that can afford on cybersecurity. So we put together a team that looked at cybersecurity the same way we look at economic care packages, look at healthcare packages. We put together a cyber care package. And that was our kind of the model that we assisted a lot of small businesses and communities, not only in the North Texas area, but San Antonio now expanded to San Francisco and now nationwide available. And our goal is finally to launch this National Cybersecurity Help Desk that you can call in and get support from. And that could be the first job. And that is actually the first job of many of the interns that get out of this, right? You get to face a real life situation. You get to answer calls. You get to resolve issues. You get to triage and escalate when you need to. And that is lifelong experience that will stay with you. So our response was very measured, long-term, and every bit of the investment that we made in operating remotely will continue on. And I think we have been fully, we have taken fully all the advantages that are possible for a remote world.
That's fantastic, Val. You know, I think of, you know, I mean, back when the pandemic was first starting, right, it wasn't the CDC that shut everything down. It wasn't the government or governments across the world. It was really the NBA, right? I remember that night watching that game, and that we all kind of, it dawned on us, right? You know, the NBA canceled their season.
Yeah.
That was it. That's the kind of leadership that I think we as a community can bring. And frankly, you know, I don't want to build your ego too much, Val, but it takes people like you to stand up and to make a difference and to help the country.
It takes people like us.
I just have so much respect for the work that you guys are doing, and you especially, Val. I hope in my career to be able to make a difference, right? It's not about the money and
And you do, George. I cannot miss this opportunity to say and to your listeners and audiences that what you have done over time to support the whole education awareness beyond your organization is commendable, and yeah. Salute to you.
I think again, you and me, or you know, folks like us are role models, and I think where I started out in cybersecurity, 15 or so years ago, we played our cards close to the vest. We didn't talk to each other. I didn't want to go out to have dinners with people because are we going to get sold something? So to hear how CFS started as a dinner, right? You know, if you're in that position and you don't take that meeting and you don't show up, look at what wouldn't have happened, right? So I think, gosh, you know, thinking about the future, we can all learn from that example. So thank you for being on the show. I love to have my guests kind of leave us with some parting wisdom. I want to give you the last word, Val.
Of course. And I shouldn't forget to mention that we are getting together in person, fortunately. That's the plan. Our next annual summit is going to be in Georgia, Augusta, Georgia, at the Georgia Cyber Center, and October 20th to 22nd, if I can put that plug in. I think and this is the first time we're doing outside Dallas, our annual meeting. So your audience and everyone who's involved is welcome to come. But I think what you heard during this session, you will hear a resounding echo for this coming up as well, because I think we need cyber talent. We need to spend our knowledge and our time and what we have learned. Let that be the guiding light for those upcoming students and entrepreneurs who want to have startups. So this is our job together. We cannot do this alone, and that's where this community comes into play. And I believe we got to get this. We got to stay together. We need to be well aware, and we need to use that information to actual action and build a safer cyberspace for us. Because without that, our physical world is not going to be safe in any way. So let's build it together.
Val, thank you so much for being on the show. If you're listening, don't forget to subscribe. We've got a great lineup of folks coming up over the summer. And definitely, if you haven't already, register for Val Cyber Future Foundation. Become a member and join the conference in October. See you guys next time.
Thank you.